When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to the latest video and podcast from Fantasy Football Scout as we look ahead to Fantasy Premier League Game Week 20. My name is Joe and today I'm joined by another top-ranked manager who may, or just may, be in with a shot of winning FPL this year. He's currently 22nd in the world and I suspect he'll shoot up once Game Week 19 fixtures are finished because he's still got his captain to play. Michael, welcome. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Yeah, it's very good that you guys invite me here. So excited to talk in this video.
No, it's a pleasure. I mean, the games are coming thick and fast. I think you over the last week or two, you've gone from third to something else, 12th to now you're 22nd. But now you've got many more players to go. We're currently recording this on Thursday morning ahead of the Thursday night games. And you've got your captain Son still in play. So I suspect you're going to go up.
Definitely, yeah.
Yeah, I would imagine.
Yeah, so hopefully, I would imagine having three of Tottenham players left to go plus Bowen.
Yeah.
I think they should get, you know, those 7, 8, 9 points each. Hopefully.
Yeah. Well, we can all hope. I've got some of those players, so I hope my ones do well. What we're doing this video, we'll have a look at your season so far, how you've got such a high rank there. We'll consider your long-term plans with some help from the season ticker. I know you like to think in advance as well. We'll look at your Game Week 20 plans as well and find out a bit more about type of manager you are. Just a reminder to everyone to do press that like button and also to do subscribe if you're not already to keep up to date with our latest videos and podcasts. Also head over to fantasyfootballscout.co.uk to have a look at their members area. There's a members offer there, 20% off, also 7-day free offer going on there. Have a look at that and you can have a look at the season ticker, which I'll present on the screen in a bit. But there's also other things, Rate My Team, and you can create your own tables and stuff so you can find the best players. Okay, Michael, let's have a look at your history so far. So this is the history this year. So I understand the first season you've been playing sensibly.
Definitely.
So a lot of your ranks have been quite low, but they've got better the last couple of years. They started off okay, actually, 2016-17, and they've sort of been a bit low. But then this year, you've just gone from last year, 7 millionth in the world?
About 7 million, something like that, yeah.
To 20, well, basically top 20, top 25 of everyone. Yeah. And there's 10 million, 11 million players. I've got the game week history there. So you started off well with a rank of a million, but it's over the season. You've played some chips as well, which have helped. You've pretty much maintained a really high rank around the 200, 300 mark. That was your sort of lowest since game week 8, really, when you played your wild card. So I just want to find out a bit about the type of manager you are. What sort of manager are you?
So for me, I always look out for differentials. Okay. That's my main point. Mm-hmm. So I think if you see from when I played the wildcard in game week 8,
yep.
I made a decision not to have Haaland in my team anymore.
Yep.
And focus on differentials. And since then, it's just spiked.
Okay.
And I bought Ducore, Kunha, and all those guys in that week.
Wow.
And they've just maintained their performance since then.
There's two things there. Yeah. One is we interviewed another high place manager last week, Dylan, who had a similar strategy. He's been going without Haaland for a large period of the season.
Yeah.
And the other point is, wow, you're the guy that got Ducore in. Every week I say, we're never going to get him in. But you are that guy.
Yeah, so the game that made me decide to bring him in was the Liverpool Everton game. I saw that he just had that eye test great performance, and since that week he's been going good.
Rightio. So yeah, so you've got your wild card in game week 8. You triple captained in game week 5. Who did you triple captain and what happened there?
I triple captained Salah, and that was the first week he got 10 or more points. So that was a very good triple captain there.
Okay, great.
But I had the bench boost, which I did not go great in
So yes, yeah, so you
in
know,
game week 10.
so why did you decide to who was on your bench in game week 10? I mean, when you have bench boost, the whole 15 is in play, but who were your sort of worst players that you wanted to include?
So I had Zuma, Castagne, and Kunha that week. And they were playing, I believe it was Raiden and some other low to mid-ranked teams. So I thought with the managers that they had in their side, they are usually defensive, but they let in a few goals there, and Kunha did not go well in the scoring time.
So, I mean, people will look at your rank here and they will look at those the use of chips and go, ah, no wonder he's doing so high. He's used all those chips already. Obviously, everyone's, you know, by game week 20, everyone's going to use their wild card. That's fine. But the triple captain. Now, with the triple captain, I think Salah got 10 points that week. So it's an extra 10 points. So that doesn't
So I
explain.
got 30 points.
Yeah, exactly. So that doesn't explain the high ranking at all. 10 points is not going to get you into the top 20, top 25.
Definitely.
And also that bench boost didn't help either, because that was an extra sort of eight, 9 points.
I think from memory it was about 4 or 5 points, to be honest. It was only 1, 1, and 2.
So looking at that then, so it's clearly that it is that focus on differentials that has propelled you up the ranks there, and going, you know, taking that sort of bold move to go without Haaland. I noticed you were in the FPL Wire, one of our part of the Fantasy Football Scout family podcasts. FPL Wire, they use our stats and stuff all the time. I approached them actually before you came on, because you're number one in their league, and there's a lot of people in their league there. So I mean, Zoff, one of the hosts there, said just convey our good wishes to you, and for you to finish at number one. Also, late riser Pranil asks, which of the podcast hosts of the FPL Wire you're most similar to. So basically, late riser Pranil is the more maverick one who goes for the differentials. Praz is more sort of a long-term planner, looks at the helicopter view, and Zof is the sensible manager. He does what we all should do each week. It sounds like you're a bit of a combination of all three.
So what I do is I have that helicopter view of Kras, but I focus that on the differentials. So seeing the fixtures over the next 5 games, and if those differentials can, I believe, can make the points, I'll buy them instead of your core players.
Rightio. I was just going to, I mean, this is a good time really to put the fixtures up as well. So I'm going to put the fixtures up here. Because you're looking ahead. So what I want to know, and I imagine what a lot of people listening and watching want to know, is you've been particularly good at picking differentials. Clearly, you're the guy that got Decore in. So, and who has, you know, people say, oh, he's going to stop scoring, but he keeps, you know, every other week, keeps chipping away with points for you. So looking at the fixtures coming up, so from game week 20 onwards, Brighton, Aston Villa, Manchester United, and Man City are, you know, top of the fixture ticket there. Bournemouth, Newcastle, Burnley, Nottingham Forest, less so there. All of those teams have a lot of differentials to consider. So what, who's on your mind going into sort of not just game week 20, but the next few fixtures going right the way into January and February?
So for me, 3 teams came up to my mind. The first one is Chelsea, actually. That's because I really like Nkunku. I hope I'm saying that name correctly. Because I was watching the game from yesterday, and he seems to be running the lines quite well, but he's just not scoring. But with the fixtures that's coming up and him being most likely the main striker, I can see him scoring a few points there.
Okay.
Because the only hard game is Liverpool.
Yeah, I was going to say, just to read out for the benefit of those listening to the podcast version, Chelsea play Luton next game at 20, great fixture. Then Fulham, then that tough game against Liverpool game at 22. Then Wolves, Crystal Palace, Man City, that's a tough game. But then Tottenham as well, from an attacking point of view, still a very good game, that Tottenham game. And that's what takes you right up to the game at 26. So Nkunku's definitely on your mind then as a key differential.
Yes,
Anyway.
definitely. I
Yeah.
may trade Isaac for that.
Okay. So who else is on your mind sort of as a differential over this period?
I think Neto from Wolves is going to be a very good differential because he just got back to training earlier this week. And with Hwang injuring his back and also missing the with Agent Cup,
Yeah.
Neto could be a very good buy-in for January,
Okay.
especially with Salah and Son going out to their respective tournaments.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, because of course, I mean, on our Goals Imminent show that I do with Tom Freeman each week, at the very start of the season, we kept highlighting Wolves players as being differentials that were actually doing well, and we were all thinking that Wolves weren't going to do so well. And Neto was. Until he reached a certain point of assists, he was the one that sort of under the radar pick around assists. But obviously, I think by the time his eighth assist went in, the cat was out of the bag. But people have probably forgotten about him now. But he was on the bench last night for Wolves, so that would indicate that he's coming back. So Neto looks like a good one as well. That's a forward and a midfielder. We're all going to have a lot of money, I think, with Salah and Son going to AFCON and the Asia Cup. So there'll definitely be slots in midfield, and we don't need to go cheap, do we? So, I mean, are there any sort of more sort of pricey players you're looking at, or you're just quite happy to go for cheap differentials?
So for me, I've got my core team. I sold Saka earlier this week, and I have Bowen and Salah Son. So I probably will just be more likely to go for the cheap differentials,
Okay, yeah, fair enough.
because I have my core team already there.
Okay, I mean it's a good chance to put your game week 20 bus team up. So as I said, at the moment you're 22nd in the world. For you, you're pretty much halfway through your game week, even because you've got so many players to go, and well, mainly your captain as well, who is Son this week. But for game week 20. Which the deadline is approaching this weekend. I've got your Game Week 20 side up. Do you want to run through your team and any sort of key decisions and who and any particular transfers you might do in Game Week 20?
So with Game Week 20, I have Areola finally back in my team, first starting lineup, and I was a bit off my head when I didn't have him in my team
Oh,
when he
really?
got the 8 points. Because,
Yeah. Same as me. He's on my
the eight
bench.
pointer, and I had Leno starting, so I was a bit bummed there. But then I have Trent, Pedro, and Pau Torres in my defense
Okay.
there. Had Trent since the beginning of the season, which was a good keep there. Pedro always going to, he doesn't, well, most likely won't keep any clean sheets, but he always has that assist stats there. And Pau Torres is one of my differentials, cheapy, because he just goes up and down that wing and
Okay.
is very similar to Pedro.
Okay. Fair enough.
And then my mid, sorry.
No, I was going to say yes, and for your midfield.
I have Son, Salah, Bowen, Richarlison, and Palmer.
Okay.
And I'm putting Son as the captain here,
Okay.
because I believe that he's going to have a big bang before he goes to the Asian Cup this
Okay.
season.
And I mean, it's a good
And
fixture on
then
paper as well. It's
Bowen.
home to Bournemouth. I must admit, he's my current bus captain.
With Son, he can play very, very good at home. His
Okay.
away stats has been on and off, but his home has always been good.
Okay.
And for my forwards, I have Watkins and Cunha.
Okay. Both playing at home, both good fixtures.
Yeah.
So I mean, so you obviously established the captaincy. Are you? I mean, Salah's your vice captain. Are you? I mean, Salah will be probably the most popular captain in Haaland's
Yeah.
absence. So effectively, with effective ownership, it's probably he'll probably his effective ownership will probably be somewhere around the 170% mark.
Yeah, most likely. Yeah.
Maybe even higher where you are in the rankings. So
Yeah.
he's effectively a 70% owned player against you. So does
Yeah.
that figure at all, or you just simply think, nope, Son's going to score more points?
So, I was debating my head on whether I should have Salah as captain. And with Newcastle, they have Botman coming in, coming back, and that might stabilize their defense more now he's back. So that's just the only thing that made me tip to Son as being captain for game week 20.
Yeah, I mean, what's making me think I might go Salah is it's not so much that effective ownership, but it's more the fact of how awful they were with Botman against Nottingham Forest, and that was at home, and also how poor Newcastle have been on the road and how Spurs dismantled them. So I think it's a real for owners of both. It is quite a tough decision, isn't it?
Yeah,
But for
definitely.
you sound much more convinced by Son, I think, for this one.
At the moment I'm more convinced with Sun, but let's see how the game goes
Okay,
later on today.
right. Yeah, I mean the other issue. I mean this is a, I mean Palmer's flagged on here, but that's only because that's a residue from the game week 19. He is available. He was just suspended for game week 19. Pau Torres could be an injury doubt, but on your bench you've got Zinchenko. Well, also you've got Leno, but you've also got Zinchenko, Castagne, and you've got Isak from Newcastle. So Newcastle, the Isak is actually on the bench there. So if Pau Torres, obviously he's got a great fixture at home to Burnley. Is the thinking there, well, you know, if he's not available, you're more than happy to play Zinchenko away to Fulham.
Yeah, that's perfectly fine with me, Derek. Sinchenko is also very similar in the left and right back.
Okay.
He can score that assist
Okay.
3-pointer every now and then.
Okay.
And Isaac is the one that I might trade out,
Okay.
potentially.
So if you're trading him out, I imagine that wouldn't remain as third, but I'm going to guess now. I might be completely wrong, but I'm going to guess that you're thinking of Alvarez because this looks very Man City-less for their Sheffield United game. Is that am I right in right there?
So Alvarez is the second choice. The first choice is Nkunku from Chelsea, possibly,
Okay. Wow.
because he's just had the price rise, I believe, earlier today,
Yeah.
Nkunku.
Yeah.
So I don't want to miss out any of those price rises later on.
Okay, rightio. Okay. So, well, no, I was completely wrong there. See, that proves how different we are as managers. Obviously we're different because I'm not in the top 25 in the world. So this is perhaps I should be listening to you a bit more because my immediate thought for I mean my in my team, I'm in a terrible situation. I've got Haaland still. I was hopeful he'd be back for Sheffield United. So I'm faced with the decision, do I bench him again? Because it's going to be just one more week. It could be more. Or do I just think of the fixture in hand and go Alvarez? And that's why he's on my mind. But it's good to hear that you don't see the fact that you haven't got any Man City and they're at home to Sheffield United is a problem. Why are you okay with that? You don't have the sort of fear of missing out there.
So I didn't have that fear of missing out because when I was just running the numbers when I did the wild card,
Okay.
because Haaland had was 14 million, I was able to get two players for half the price each,
Yeah.
and they were able to get about 5 or 6 points clear every single week. So that price to points ratio was in the favorite differential, so I never had that fear of missing out with any Man City players
Okay.
after my wild card.
Okay, I do, obviously, because I've got that money and I've got Haaland, so I'm the worst of these worlds. Okay, looking ahead though, so you've got Nkunku's your short term for game week 20, but also your sort of long term, medium term punt, because you want to look at him over a number of weeks, and you think Chelsea are going to do well, and he'll do well there. Who else? What else do you plan to do with this team? You know, come game week 21, what's the sort of aim? Yeah. Obviously, Salah and Son, I presume, would go. Who are your top replacements? Yeah.
So my top replacements is Madison and KDB.
Okay.
So Madison, from what I see on the EPL website, he's going to be back either the week Son leaves to Asian Cup.
Okay.
Or the week after.
Wow.
So that's very, very good timing.
Yeah. That's it.
And KDB, yeah.
Yeah. Because he is now, KDB is also another player coming back from injury, but he is training with the team at the moment, unlike Haaland. What is it about KDB above some? I was going to say above the other options, say for example Richarlison and Bowen, but they're already in your side. Is it? Would you, say you were talking to someone like me or anyone else who was thinking, who is the best replacements for Son and Salah? Who would you think are? I mean, would you think it would be Bowen and Richarlison above KDB and Madison maybe?
So in my thinking is that KDB is probably the only Man City player that I'm fearing of missing out.
Oh.
Because Man City is currently fourth, I believe, on the table.
Yeah.
And they're going to just go, if they're in the same position in the next, say, 3-4 weeks, they're going to risk it with KDB.
Yeah.
Even though he might get that injury. So he's going to be playing very high up in the attacking line.
Yeah.
So he should be getting that assist or that goal every second week.
Okay.
So that's why I think he is one of the best replacements for Son or Salah.
Okay. Other people in Game Week 20 might be thinking of other Man City options. Their defence. Are you just not going with their defence?
For me, I think that Pep Guardiola, he just rotates the defenders quite a lot compared to, say, Haaland or Alvarez.
Yeah.
So I don't really want to take that risk with that rotation Pep does.
No. And what about, say, Foden? I mean, I've always had a bad relationship with Phil Foden in my team. Every time I get him in, he ends up being benched or does nothing. And every time I don't have him in, he scores. But you're not interested in, is KDB or bust really for you?
For me, it's KDB or bust. Mm-hmm. I see that Foden option for quite a lot of managers who may be on a tight budget. Mm-hmm. He will give you that 9-10 points every third, fourth week. But on a consistency level, I don't think he's up there yet to be a mainstay in FPL.
And so aside from those sort of Son Salah replacements, obviously Nkunku's on your mind as well.
Yeah.
Where else do you see your team sort of shifting over the next few weeks? Who might leave and who will come in, obviously looking at those fixtures to come?
So Kunha, I might be training off later on, but I just haven't decided who I should train him for.
Mm-hmm.
But West Ham players, Bowen should be a very good pick since Kudus will be in AFCON, I believe.
Yeah.
So he should be a very good buy, Bowen. And in the top 20 or 30, when I was looking, he's actually a differential there.
Yeah.
Only about 5 people own him in the top 30, which is good.
What, Kuna, that is?
Bowen.
Bowen. So, really? Because I could hear you say Bowen in my brain, but partly my brain was thinking that can't be right. I would assume
Bowen is all
you lot did.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I thought it would have. But when I was checking the different websites, he's only owned by about 5 or 6, which is a very good differential.
Okay. That leads me, before we go, I just wanted to find out a little bit more about what it feels like to be so high. I mean, I've only ever got to 600, I think, and my top finish has been 800, which I was delighted with, the amount of managers have played. But I can't quite compute what it'd be like to be sort of in the top 10 as you have been, around where you are now. How does it feel?
It feels very surreal, to be honest. Like when I came into this season, my goal was to be in the top 100,000, and then each passing week, it just keeps getting better and better. And when I posted on X, my game week 16 score, everything just blew up on my photo page,
Well, that's it. I
and
mean,
I just felt like, yeah,
well,
felt different.
people want to know how you got there, what decisions you're making. And for you, it's really been that focus on differentials and taking some bold moves, really. And obviously, because I do a lot of these videos, so talk to a lot of managers, you know, I make assumptions about what people might do. I say, oh, so I think, oh, you're going to get a Man City player. But you're not thinking that way. And so I think that helps. But I was thinking, having that sort of attitude, I wonder how being so high up in the rankings affects that sort of maverick streak in you.
So I think in the last few weeks I've sort of looked into things a little bit too much,
Okay.
and I've had a few red arrows there, but I'm just now trying to go back to basics
Okay.
of just thinking with my head, but also my gut feeling that I do have
Okay.
week in, week out.
Yeah, I mean, you're appearing here. As you said, you know, there's much more interest on you on social media now because people want to know, want to talk to one of the top managers this season. And so I just wondered how whether you it's quite nice to that you're saying you sort of in a way sort of get your head sort of step back from it and don't let do you feel that a lot of that sort of the media coverage, the fact we do these videos, podcasts, the social media, can it cloud your judgment a little bit? Can it be a bit counterproductive?
In a way, yes, but for me, it allows me to gather a lot more information.
Okay.
So there's some things that I may not have thought of, and I go, oh, that's actually a good idea. I'll just look into it more for more there, and just helps me gain more knowledge about
Okay.
FPL football in general, so it's good.
Okay. Well, thanks so much for your time. I mean, this has been really enlightening finding out how some managers are getting there. And for me, it's quite depressing because this is not the type of manager which is why I'm not and have never been in the top 25. So I would need to alter the way I play. I think a little, but I think you do need that sort of maverick streak in you to do it, but there's a lot of but the focus does seem to be on planning. I know in your notes to me, the looking ahead on the fixtures and planning is still really important. So it's not just haphazard having a gut feeling. There is planning involved.
So there's definitely planning involved when I have that four or five core players, and then all the other players would be my enablers differentials that I plan that 4 or 5 weeks ahead. And then from there I see, okay, which one does my gut and head feel is the best player.
Excellent. Well, thanks so much for your time, Michael. Good luck, Game Week
No
20. Good
problems.
luck with the rest of the season, getting even higher up the rankings and perhaps winning it, which would be absolutely amazing considering the amount of over 10 million people play this game. But thanks so much for your
Definitely,
time.
yeah.
Is there anything finally you just wanted to add before we go?
I just want to say thank you so much for inviting me here. It's been a pleasure, and I was very nervous at the start, but yeah, I really like that. Thank you for letting me join.
No, that's great. No, you've been great. It's been fine. It's been really good, and it's been very good to get your thoughts there. Thanks for your time. Good luck. See you
No
soon.
problems. Thanks. See you soon. Bye.